الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي دروش يبلنا Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. In the last session of Darsi Hadith, we covered the expedition of Banu Mustaliq, in which great prominence was given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an for his bravery and courage, single-handedly killing three of the famous warriors and fighters from the tribe of Mustalaq. And alhamdulillah, the result was in favor with the Muslims and Islam. The Banu Mustaliq surrendered unconditionally to the Muslims. Inshallah, in our session tonight, I wish to cover an incident that occurred immediately after the expedition of Banu Mustaliq, and just to explain the reason why Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an gave advice to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to explain his own words during that event and that incident that occurred. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam did take part in the expedition of Banu Mustaliq, and as the Muslim army was returning back to Madinatul Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this expedition had taken Bibi Aisha, his wife radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and she was accompanying Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the expedition of Banu Mustaliq. Now, just to explain the masla, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a man who was extremely fair and just with his wives. According to the mas'ala, if a man has more than one wife, then he does not need to do justice between the days of his travels. For an example, if he was to take the second or the third or the fourth wife every year, he can do so. Justice, equality is only in mabit, for an example, in the spending of the nights and also the hours that you give and also the things that you give. But when it comes to traveling, a man is quite free. He can take any of his wives that he chooses to do so. But despite that concession given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he could choose any of the wives whenever he went for his Ghazawat expeditions or to his travels, after Nabuwat was given to him, generally all of his travels were based on jihad, which is known as Ghazawat. And so in this particular expedition, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was returning back to Medina with the entire caravan, the convoy, all the mujahideen back to Madinatul Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to camp at a particular location which was a few miles to the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara, and this was during the night. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had requested a halt, that all the people should take rest for the few hours in the night. Maybe a lot of the companions were tired because of the travel. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up on his musalla. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying. Just to explain that whenever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would travel, a lot of preparation was done by each individual, and especially when it came to the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This event that had taken place was when the verses of hijab had been explained to the ummah, the laws were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so the rules of hijab were in effect immediately. And therefore, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested the companions. So a special carriage was made for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and that was mounted on her camel. And this carriage was completely veiled, so there was parda all around and you could not see anything. So no one from outside could see anything that was inside. And this was for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. A lot of respect and honor is given to Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she traveled with the women in the women section of the caravan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped, all of the Muslimin stopped, she was where the women were, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after a few hours, said to one of the companions to make an announcement that very soon the Muslims will start their onward journey back to Madinatul Munawwara. And this final announcement was only made so that if the companions wanted to finish off any of their chores, final chores, maybe some would want to go for the call of nature to relieve themselves. So all that is done before the journey actually starts back to Madinatul Munawwara. So this announcement was made, and also the ladies that were there were informed of this announcement. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha decided that she was going to proceed deep into the jungle that was there in the desert with the intention to relieve herself. And so Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an went deep into the woods, and she did not actually inform anyone as it was quite late in the night. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she herself thought that she will return back very, very quickly. And so she went. And this was something that was a normal practice by the women in Madinatul Munawwara, that whenever they would want to go for the call of nature, in Madina Munawwara there were no toilets or latrines. The women would have to go out to the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara in a remote area, perhaps behind a desert mountain somewhere, concealing themselves, and then for them to relieve themselves for the call of nature. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha also went. Now, as she was returning back to the caravan, what had happened is that she noticed, she put her hand to the neck side, and she noticed that her necklace was missing. Her necklace was missing. Again, we learn one mas'ala, that it is perfectly fine for women to adorn themselves, with jewelry, necklace, bangles. In fact, this is the sunnah. Why? The mothers of this ummah, the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would adorn themselves with jewelry. So she had this necklace, and as she was returning back, she noticed that there was no necklace. The necklace was missing. So she returned back looking for the necklace. Now, as she returned back looking for this necklace, she was delayed. And when she returned back after finding the necklace, Allahu Akbar. What had happened is that the entire convoy, the caravan, had left and had departed to Madinatul Munawwarah. Everyone had left. And Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was all alone in the jungle, in the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwarah, many miles out of Madinatul Munawwarah, and she was completely alone. And again, look at the intelligence of this young lady. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was very young at that time, and that is why the companions had left that area, thinking that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is already in the carriage. Ulama have mentioned that she was very young, she was thin and frail, and therefore the companions did not notice of her to be in the carriage or whether she was absent from the carriage, thinking that Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in the night must have been resting. And so when it came to depart, all of the camels and even her camel on which was her carriage, that followed the rest of the convoy, and everyone had left, not realizing that Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is missing. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha did not panic, did not run from one side to another side chasing the convoy, the caravan, subhanallah, but she acted very prudently. What she did is that she wrapped herself, she covered herself properly, and she sat down. And because it was extremely late in the night, she was also very tired. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha fell asleep. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha fell asleep. And ulama have mentioned one important mas'ala, that if a person is lost, then the best option for him is just to stand in that very location. Is to stand in that very location. And that mas'ala is taken from this story of the Quran of Waqi'i Ifk. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha knew most definitely that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam finds out that Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is missing, obviously Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would send a group of people to look for Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the first place they would come to is this very location. And so Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was resting and she was sleeping. It was also quite cold. Now, just to explain the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam of what happens thereafter. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's character and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's planning, this masterful, beautiful, meticulous planning of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in everything that he did. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's noble habit was that whenever a group of people were to travel with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would always appoint one individual who would remain a few hours back from the main convoy. He would always remain a few hours back. And so he's trailing a few hours back from the main group of people, from the main army, from the main convoy, caravans. He would be a few hours back. So he would depart from Madinatul Munawwara approximately 4 to 5 hours after when the main section of the army has left. And so this time the man who was appointed by Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a young man whose name was Hazrat Safwan. Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala. Many people come and say, Mauli sahab, what name should we give to our children? Something new. What new do you want? Safwan is a good name. Safwan is something new, isn't it? Safwan is a sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the duty of these individuals was something very simple. They would come, do the zikr of Allah, remain behind, and they would pick up anything that was dropped, anything that was lost, anything that was forgotten by the group of Muslimin. So they would look around, and these were expert trackers. They knew exactly which way to head. They would follow the convoy. And so slowly, at a distance, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is sleeping. And Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala an is coming slowly, all alone, coming slowly with his own camel. And so there he sees, immediately he knew that this lady is a Muslim lady, a Muslima, because Muslims would dress up in a way, they would cover the entire body, and she had wrapped herself when she was sleeping. And so Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was sleeping, and Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala an came. He did not know who this lady was until he got very close to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he came in front of her and he looked at the face of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he noticed that this is the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Bibi Aisha. Now how did he recognize her? Ulama have mentioned that before the verses of hijab were revealed, women would have their faces open anyway. So he knew that Aisha is the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and he had seen Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. When he saw that this is the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was extremely dismayed. And what did he say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So when he saw Bibi Aisha, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When he did the tasbih of Inna lillah, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was awakened, and she opened her eyes, and she noticed that a stranger, Safwan, is in front of Hazrat Aisha. So immediately she sat up properly, and she covered her face, and she put the face veil. Now, a lot of people ask about the face veil, and where is it in the Sharia? Where is it in the Sharia? Where is it in Islam? Well, if you read the story of Surah An-Nur, the verses revealed in praise of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, two rukus, more than 10 ayats. It'll tell you exactly that in this event, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was very quickly covering her face. Because she was sleeping, some part of the face was exposed. But immediately thereafter, she did not expect anyone to come. But when somebody did come, she put on the hijab and she was covering the face. With a lot of respect, Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala an said to Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an that he will bring the camel. And he made his own camel sit down, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala got onto his camel, and with a lot of safety and security, with a lot of honor and respect, Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala holding the string of the camel and walking in front, he took Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha to Madinatul Munawwara. Ulama have mentioned that even whilst walking with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, there was no conversation. And today you will find a lot of women, mashallah, who put on the face veil, but when it comes to chit chat, they are given a gold medal. And also men get excited when they see a woman, even when she's in parda. Kamcho masi. How are you? MashaAllah, these biscuits are 54 pence today. MashaAllah, this bread is for 25 pence. Striking a conversation. What do they want to do? To strike a conversation. They will immediately look at the eyes and will want to even picture her from the eyes and will want to make conversation. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What is it? Does hijab, parda mean only parda of the face? Does parda mean only parda of the face? And that is why when in Sharia, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that in the month of Ramadan, one must fast. Fasting is not just to make sure there's no water or solid food entering your stomach. Fasting is of the eyes. Fasting is of the tongue. Fasting is of the ears. Fasting is of the hands. Fasting is of the legs. So, wearing a hijab does not give a woman the license to chit chat. And A man who wears a kurta or has a long beard and has put on a pagri or a topi does not give him the license to freely mix and to chit chat and to talk to women. Subhanallah. There should be a lot of adab. There should be a lot of adab. As Maulana Zulfiqar Sahib would say, and I know Idris won't like this because I'm going to speak in Urdu, but please excuse me. Maulana Zulfiqar Sahib would say, baat se baat barti hai. Baat se baat barti hai. Baat se baat barti hai. Very short. Baat se baat barti hai. You strike a conversation today, tomorrow it'll be something else. And these were the companions, sincere, mukhlis, only that which was necessary. I have my camel, putting it down, O mother of the believers, climb on top, and I will take you safely to Medina Munawwara. Not a word uttered from Hazrat Safwan, radiyallahu ta'ala, and not a word uttered from Hazrat Aisha, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Allahu Akbar, that is the story. Until the return journey to Madinatul Munawwara after the expedition of Banu Mustaliq. Now, in Madinatul Munawwara, of course, you had different categories of people with the Jews, with the Muslimin, the Ansar, the Muhajireen, the companions generally. You had another group that was known as the Munafiqeen. And the leader of the Munafiqeen was Abdullah ibn Ubay. Abdullah ibn Ubay. When some of his cronies said to him that, have you heard what happened? Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was late in entering Madinatul Munawwara. Why? She was seen to enter Medina alone with a young Sahabi whose name was Safwan. And so they were painting a lot of colors to the community of Madinatul Munawwara. Al-Iyazu Billah, imagine. And so this vicious man, wicked man, very shrewd and cunning, what he did is that he started fabricating a story, and he started saying to his people, he had a great following in Medina, the Munafiqeen, and he said to the people, why would Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, how can she be missed out from this convoy? Where were the women? And he started conjuring up all these questions in the minds of people. And he's saying that even Safwan is a young man. Even Safwan is a young man. And he started saying to the people that, Al-Iyazu Billah, possibly there is some kind of an affair between Bibi Aisha and Hazrat Safwan. Now who is Bibi Aisha? The wife of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he's trying to say that there was some kind of an illicit relationship between the two, Al-Iyazu Billah. Now, whenever it comes to false allegation and accusation, brothers will know, of course, that news spreads like wildfire, like fire in the bush. Nothing good. Anything good, it's very slow. But anything that is bad, when you have to do ghibat of someone, or when you say, have you heard, that man might have done something like this, it goes very, very fast. And so, when you slander someone, and when you falsely accuse someone, slowly the news also spread throughout Madinatul Munawwara very, very quickly. And unfortunately what had happened is that just a few from the companions of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were caught into this very heavy influence that was coming from the Munafiqeen and the conspiracy that they were putting forward to the people of Madinatul Munawwara. And I say very few. Allahu Akbar. This shows the strength of Iman of the companions. How solid were the companions. That so much propaganda that came from the Munafiqeen, but only two from the men and one from the woman was affected by this conspiracy and this rumor mongering that was coming from the Munafiqeen. And the two individuals were Hazrat Mistah and Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Mistah and Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. And from amongst the women, it was Hazrat Hamna radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, when she came to Madinatul Munawwara, of course married to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to the house of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she continued life as normal, doing her household affair and everything continuing. She did not even have the slightest clue as to what the people were speaking about her, and people were actually questioning her purity and her chastity. And she was there. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a husband. Subhanallah. Even Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not question Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Despite the fact that, imagine how difficult it must have been for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for people to accuse someone who he dearly loved. After Bibi Khadija, he dearly loved Bibi Aisha. And he loved her because she was also the daughter of someone who he dearly loved, and that was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And so the attack was directly at the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and at the family of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. A lot of the companions had heard what was happening and what people were speaking about Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, but they did not say anything against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. What had happened, my respected brothers, it was only later on, after a few days, after when Bibi Aisha had entered Madinatul Munawwara, after a few days she fell ill. She fell ill. And ulama have mentioned that she fell ill because of a reason. She fell ill because now she had noticed that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not giving her the attention that he would usually give her. He was not giving her the same attention that she was usually fond of. She was expecting that attention from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All the time, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would show his love to the wives. And this is also very, very important today, my respected brothers, that as husbands, we shouldn't become invisible. We shouldn't become invisible and say, "Jao, jao, you know, I love you in my heart." What do people say? "I love you in my heart." Don't love them just in your hearts, my respected brothers, but even show your love to them. And this is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of a sudden, Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha notices that Hazrat Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has reserved himself, and he is not opening to Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and that is why she fell ill. And out of respect, she would not even question Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She did not even know what was happening around in Madinatul Munawwara. It was only when once she went with the mother of Mistah, out of Madinatul Munawwara to relieve herself for the call of nature. She went out of Madinatul Munawwara, and because she was not well at that time, the mother of Mistah was with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And so as Hazrat Aisha and the mother of Mistah, when they were both returning back to Madinatul Munawwara, it is said that the mother of Mistah, her feet got entangled in her jabbah, and she fell to the ground. This old lady fell to the ground. When she fell to the ground, in anger she said, "Ta'isa Mistah." She said, "Ta'isa Mistah." Now, Mistah is her own son. And she is actually cursing her own son. And she is saying that may the curse of Allah be on Mistah. May the curse of Allah be on Mistah. When she fell down. Now, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said to this old lady, "Ya my mother, how can you say that for your own son? Mistah, he's your own son. And you should never say this." Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, subhanallah, her knowledge. She's a great faqiha in the ranks of the companions. And so she is explaining that, "Look, what you are doing is wrong. And let me tell you why it is wrong. Let me remind you that Mistah is a Badri Sahabi. What did she say? She is saying and reminding to the mother that how can you speak bad? One, he is your own son. Secondly, Allah has forgiven him, because all of the companions that participated in the battle of Badr, Allah has forgiven them. They have the highest rank amongst the companions. And Mistah is a Badri Sahabi. And she was listening to Bibi Aisha. And then she said that, my young girl, these are the words. What did she say? Oh, my young girl, don't you know what my son has been saying about you? Says Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, what is he saying about me? He said, he is trapped with the hypocrites of Madinatul Munawwara, and he has been influenced by Abdullah ibn Ubay, and he also believes that al-iyazu billah, you had something to do with Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anha. He also believes that you had something to do with Hazrat Safwan. It is only then, when this old lady had related the entire incident and the story of what was happening in Madinatul Munawwara, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was shocked what was happening, and quickly she realized that this is why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has slightly changed his attitude and has become a bit reserved. Why? Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he had to make a decision, he would only make a decision after some kind of a revelation, or after a revelation, or something that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of a dream, or something that Allah would open up the heart of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to a decision. Only then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would give his own decision. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha came back to the house. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there. She says that I was not well, and now after hearing this, my illness doubled. My illness doubled. And immediately she greeted Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, I am asking you permission. Can you give me permission that I want to go back to the house of my father, as in the house of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at the face of Bibi Aisha and consented and said, okay, fine, if you want to go, you're not well, and if you want to go to the house of your parents, you can do so. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asking permission from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not that all of a sudden she was naraz or she was unhappy with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-iyazu billah. That was not her intention. Her intention was only that if she goes home, she will have more clarity and she could seek advice and consultation from her father and her mother. And because of parda, she would not go out, women wouldn't go out, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an would give her the right guidance. So she went back home. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was not there, but the mother of Hazrat Aisha was there. And she came, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha started crying. And the mother embraced Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The mother was very confident, of course. She knew, she knows her child. And she said to Bibi Aisha that, Aisha, you have to understand that someone like you, who is extremely beautiful, you are extremely beautiful, and not only are you extremely beautiful, but you are the wife of someone who is very beautiful, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this would mean that there are a lot of people who are jealous of your position. There are a lot of people who are jealous of your position, and so this should be expected. And she said that, exercise sabr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors for you. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that, I could not sleep a wink in the night, and all night she was crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam found it also very difficult that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was now at the house of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. What he did was that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked two of his close companions, and in fact two members of his family, asked their advice, mashwara, from the companions, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Usama ibn Zaid radiallahu ta'ala. So everybody was talking in Madinatul Munawwara. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided to take the opinion of Usama bin Zaid and Hazrat Ali. These were close people of his family. Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulullah, very emphatically he said, I see nothing wrong in Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and therefore, Ya Rasulullah, pay no heed or attention to the rumors that are being circulated in Madinatul Munawwara. And he said with a lot of confidence that I am sure that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is innocent, completely innocent. And so this is just a testing period. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his advice. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha was also asked. Now when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was asked, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an saw the strain on the face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he wanted to give a different advice, that already what Usama has said, I don't have to repeat, alhamdulillah, but let me speak at a different level. And this was his own judgment, but we have to be very careful here. There's a subtle line, a very sensitive line. And it was the advice that was given by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that Bibi Aisha took as an offense. She took as an offense. And she was offended by this. But in reality, subhanallah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had no intention whatsoever to find any fault with Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. But because of the deep love that she had for the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that would include Hazrat Ali, she did not expect Hazrat Ali to say this. And this can happen. And sometimes this can happen. We are human beings, and unintentionally you might say something. Unintentionally you might say something that immediately you don't realize, but later on you might see a different picture. And so he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, there are no restrictions on you. Why this pressure on you? There are no restrictions on you. You are free to marry any woman that you wish in Arabia, and you are free to dismiss any woman that is in your nikah. What did he say? That you are free to dismiss any woman that is already in your nikah. So why the pressure? And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, my advice to you would be to ask Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha. Another good name, Barira, a female name. Hazrat Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha was the female slave maid of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Allah's Nabi called Hazrat Barira and said to Barira, Barira, what is your opinion in the matter and in the rumors that are being circulated in Medina? Hazrat Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I see nothing but good in Bibi Aisha. I see nothing but piety in Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to smile. But going back to the words of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, it was at this moment the words that on a very general note that came out from the mouth of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, when Bibi Aisha found out, of course her position was very high. Her position was very high, and she did not like the advice that was given by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. MashaAllah, this story of Ifk is a very lengthy story, long story, and inshallah it covers a lot of masail also. And inshallah we will try to finish this story off in the next session of Darsi Hadith. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم عافنا اللهم ارحمنا اللهم ارزقنا اللهم توفنا مسلما والحقنا بالصالحين سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.